about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, God.
First of all, apologies for all the recent masturbation, but I gotta say, that's kind of on you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm falling asleep right now. I could be at a brunch with a guy who runs a microbrewery, so let's pep it up.
Yes!
What is going on here? What is happening here?
And now,
warning. Side effects may include nausea, dizziness, tooth loss, dropsy, unexplained redundancy, toe jam, excessive earwax, excessive belly button lint, genital bloat, brain tooth, stigmata, anal snoring, blue urine, bleeding eyes, dangerously high sperm count, dangerously low sperm count, raccoon hands, and dry mouth.
Our feature presentation.
Raccoon hands is a pretty good band right there.
What is droppy? Anyone know what droppy is?
Oh, I think you know what droppy is.
Oh, really? Is that what it is? Wouldn't that be droopy?
I mean,
Who knows?
It sounded like it might be a real medical potential side effect. And I just
raccoon hands.
Yeah, raccoon hands sounds real too, by the way.
That isn't good for you.
That's all we know. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 7th of June.
What's up, you guys?
You know, just living.
How's everybody doing?
Living life?
Yeah.
7:30 a.m. comes early, doesn't it?
I'm sorry?
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
See, because Dave's in New Orleans, so he's rubbing it in.
That's right. I forgot it's so much earlier. Hey,
when is daylight savings, by the way?
How dare you, first
Isn't it
of
soon?
All?
I feel
how
like
dare
I,
you?
There should be commercials for daylight savings.
Something.
Guys, it's saving, first of all, and we're well into it by now, a couple of months already.
Oh, really?
Is it good or bad that our listeners always think of us whenever they see some sort of mad pooper story? Is that the kind of show you want to be associated with? Is when listeners see a guy pooping in a neighborhood, they think, oh, that reminds me of Kevin and Bean.
Yep. Look, we're lucky anyone thinks of us at all for anything. So if it's the mad pooper, I will rejoice.
Poopity-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-de-scoop-de-poop.
I guess one of my questions would be, why are there so many mad poopers in the news lately? This is at least the fourth one in the last year.
Yeah, it does seem like they're ramping it up for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, we had the mad pooper.
Mad pooper.
Remember? And then we had the phantom pooper.
Phantom pooper.
Mm-hmm. And this is the poo jogger. They call him the poo jogger. That is the hashtag. He's trending all over Australia.
Uh-huh.
And why?
Why? I don't know why.
Let's.
Why does it happen once?
Yes.
Let alone more than once.
This, the poo jogger, hashtag poo jogger, apparently has pooped in this neighborhood. I guess it's a, I don't know, it's just a regular neighborhood in Melbourne. And 30 times in the past year, it is estimated that he has pooped.
Now, so at that point, it's not an emergency because you could then change your schedule or whatever.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't.
30 times. Is it like the thrill an exhibitionist gets? Is it doing something private in public and you hope that you get seen? Because most of the time he's not being seen. Most of the time he's just going out doing his damage and then going home. So it doesn't make sense to me that he would get that thrill.
All right. You're not going to like this idea. Your immediate response is going to be no.
Okay.
We should have people call in.
No.
Yes.
No,
what do you mean? No.
No.
You're asking questions,
mad
right?
Mad poopers?
Yeah. Who have done it in their life at any
no
point?
No one.
Because it would be fascinating to ask them this question. Why?
I don't think we have listeners who have been mad poopers.
You underestimate our listeners. Do not underestimate them.
So Steve Smith, who's a neighbor, I don't know why he's the guy who was in charge of finding out who the culprit was, but they set up some night cameras and they got a few images from a distance, so they knew about what time he was doing it. So then he decided to stay outside at night and wait, you know, with a camera for him to come along.
Do you think he napped throughout the day? He's like, listen, I got to do this
right?
tonight. Like, he set
I got a shift
up for
tonight.
This, yeah. Right?
So
what are you going to do? Oh, I'm just going to be watching for a pooper.
So, Allie, you opened up your email last night, and with very little warning, this photograph presented itself.
Kevin sends this email. No, like, hey, when you open this, a huge picture of an old man taking a dookie is going to pop up.
But you can't see any of it. It's just him in position.
You see the side of his bare ass, though, he's bent over.
He's ready. It is the whole frame
when
you open your email.
I mean, yeah, it's a big, clear photo.
It was a big picture, Lord. Yes.
It's clear. So again, why, first of all.
Okay, I got your answer, is that we need to talk to people, but go ahead.
Andrew Douglas McIntosh.
Ooh, Dr. Drew.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Andrew Douglas McIntosh has been arrested. By the way, he's the poo jogger. He is a national quality manager at a big time Australian retirement village company. He's also a member of the Brisbane City Council board.
Sweet.
Oh dear.
How about that? And this photo, by the way, it looks like a stock photo. It's posed. Yes, it's beautifully composed. It's in color. It's clear.
That's part of what Allie hated about it.
Yes, exactly.
The size of it and the clarity.
So Steve Smith jumps out of the bushes. He's waiting in the bushes. He sees the guy who, by the way, has toilet paper in hand. And
he's being responsible.
He snaps his photo. Wow. Steve Smith says, I expected to be met with abuse, but instead the man gave a friendly hello before continuing on his way. It was very strange.
A friendly hello?
Yes. In other words, he didn't freak out that his photo was being taken and his cover had been blown. So he has been charged with one count of public nuisance. I feel like there should be more charges than just that.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Littering, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
See what you did?
Yeah, I made nuisance poosance. Just because it sounds like it.
So I don't know that we need to talk to
I think
Matt
we do.
Poopers, but
at some point, wouldn't you like to ask someone who's done it, why do you do it?
I mean, I guess we always talk about this as with the high-speed chases, as we ask why they make the decisions they do. I guess maybe
it has to be a fetish, right?
It has to be a turn-on, right?
Right.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
But how have we almost never heard of this or heard of this years apart, and now all of a sudden there's one every 3 months, though? Is it like the new planking or something? I mean, is it now?
Yes.
Is this an internet?
Some people combine the
two. Great example.
What I'm just saying is this poo jogger inspired by the Phantom Pooper, the Mad Pooper, and all the other poopers? He goes, I guess that's the thing we're doing now. I'll do it too.
I mean, I doubt it. The guy's on the, what did you say, city board or something?
Yes. Yeah, city council. Yeah.
I doubt that guy's going on the internet and seeing somebody else's pooping and going, this is the
idea.
I don't
know.
This is for me.
Maybe there's poo message boards.
Oh, could be.
Yeah, they all get together. They're like, when are you dropping it? Oh, 7 p.m.
You think they coordinate them around the world?
Yes.
Sure. There's a
zone.
There's a Reddit AMA.
Coordinated poop drops.
There's currently a mystery pooper on the loose in Toronto.
Yes.
Also,
man.
By the way.
Go, man.
That they're looking for. They've got photos up in the neighborhood. They think they know who he is, but they haven't caught him yet. So I don't know. I know that I don't like it, and I know that I like it. I don't want to be associated with it.
All right. Listen, I'm just saying at some point we're going to have to ask for that.
If you're a bad pooper call, that's what you're saying.
I think at some point. Yep. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Do you really believe this or are you just talking?
Just talking. Dr. Drew's on the show today.
All right.
We also have Jim Rash in studio. Very excited about that.
You mean Academy Award winner Jim Rash?
I do.
I love him.
We have a B-team feature of the time Bean and I talked to LaToya Jackson.
Ooh.
Now, neither of us have a memory of this at all.
None.
Yeah.
I have no idea how it went.
For good reason, though, why you talked to her, right?
Well, I mean, Why would we talk to LaToya Jackson about a country album, Bean?
Well, I mean, I think
it was a country album, right?
I think so often we say yes to a guest who has a project to promote just so we can get them on the air and then ask them about what we want to ask them.
Oh, I see.
We didn't care about the country album, but we thought, oh, my God, she's LaToya Jackson. What a crazy life she's
had. Tell us about Michael.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So that's coming up today. We've got a scientific survey. We've got rules for eating, which we had a lively conversation about in the office yesterday.
Allie thinks we're idiots.
You're insane is what you are.
I think Allie's right. I think I'm with her on this. And who's the dick on the program today as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
That means it's time for What's Happening, Allie.
What's happening is WWE Live SummerSlam Heatwave Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all going down at Honda Center on June 24th. I want to give two winners a pair of tickets to go check that out. Roman Reigns.
1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I love you, too. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, many more. Tickets on sale now at the box office or Ticketmaster.com. But if you're callers, let's just say 10 and 11, you are both going to get a pair of tickets. WWE Live SummerSlam Heatwave Tour, Honda Center, June 24th.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
It's odd. Oh, is that Chris Hansen?
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it is. Reading a transcript.
Take a seat. Want some lemonade?
I'll just be your secret lover.
Oh, man.
I could probably teach you a few things.
Never good. Never good. So hockey might be over tonight if the Capitals win.
It's very possible.
But we get Panic at the Disco tonight.
Before the game?
Yeah, they're going to be playing before tonight's Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final at T-Mobile Arena. Of course, they're from Las Vegas, so it makes perfect sense. Do you think if it goes to 7 and finishes up in Las Vegas?
The Killers?
The Killers.
I knew it. I
right?
knew that's where you were going.
I mean, that's the only reason I would root for Game 7. Oh, other than Game 7. Was that my Jim Rome?
I'm not positive.
Not sure. That was disturbing, but really. Let's go to Game 7, people. Who's in?
I mean, sure. It would extend the hockey season.
Right. At least go to 6 so Washington can win it at home.
Sure.
Right?
That would be fine, too, yeah.
Yeah. But 7. Then the Killers.
Yeah, but you don't even know the Killers. I mean, you're just guessing.
I'm just guessing.
Right.
Who else? Who else?
Wayne Newton.
How dare you? Is he alive?
Is he alive, Bean?
He's a Golden Knights fan. He's in a bunch of games.
Yeah, no one cares. Killers, though, right?
Right.
Do you think?
Sure.
I love that Bean knows that he's had a ton of games. Bean, well, you're the best.
There's been a lot of coverage about the Golden Knights because they're in the Stanley Cup Final. So.
Right. Right.
You know, you always see those profiles of what celebrity fans go and things like that.
Sure. I mean, but the Capitals, they got Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened.
So, F you, Wayne Newton, right? Pat Sajak. You guys, were you sad when you heard that the last remaining Munchkin has passed away? Jerry Marin?
I wasn't really invested in the Munchkins.
No?
Mm-mm.
He was 98 years old, as Bean said yesterday. Too soon. Taken too soon.
Yeah,
he was the Munchkin that welcomed Judy Garland's character Dorothy to Munchkinland.
Obviously.
Remember the one that gave her the big lollipop?
Sure.
That's not a euphemism. It was actually a lollipop. Handed it right to her.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Barely.
Why do you hate cinema?
I don't hate cinema.
How many Munchkins were there in The Wizard of Oz?
124, thanks for asking.
And he's the last one.
He's the last one. It's kind of sad. He made $50 a week for appearing in the film, and Toto got $125.
Wow, like, Toto was a dog, you guys.
I feel like that's just
wow.
That's just sad, right?
All right, now let me ask you guys this question. It's an undisputed classic of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? Well, you would know, Kevin. You raised kids. Do kids still sit down and watch The Wizard of Oz at some point in their childhood? Is that a movie that has translated into the 21st century?
I don't think they do that on their own, but if the parent talks them into it, you can pretty much get your kids to watch anything.
Right. But do you think that that's considered still a children? Is it so far in the past now that most people coming up raising kids now don't even think about The Wizard of Oz? They think about Pixar movies.
I would
think.
I mean, that is what I would think.
Yeah. I just wonder
it's
if
too far
it's
in the
getting,
past.
Yeah, it's getting further and further in our rearview mirror, and soon most people won't have seen it or heard of it even.
Sure.
I mean, because it was from 1939, you guys.
Right.
I mean, it had a good run.
The Tin Man.
Right. We've seen it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know the movie, but I'm just saying.
Those are really great things for kids to learn.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So be better parents.
Right. But if you're 25 and you've got a little kid at home, you're probably going to show them. You know, like I said, Toy Story.
Yeah, of course.
Rather than going back to the 30s, I'm just guessing. I don't know.
I mean,
I guess it's good that Jerry Marin is dead. Because he didn't have to hear this conversation.
Is that our conclusion?
I think that's a great way to sum up the story.
I don't want him to think that his life's work has been wasted because no one knows or cares about his dumb movie.
Listen, he, like you said, he had a good run.
Yeah. He had a real good run. By the way, he was also the Hamburglar. Just kidding, Mayor McCheese and the Hamburglar. Hamburglar. What? For McDonald's. That's exciting. And he appeared as Little Oscar in the Oscar Mayer ads and as Buster Brown for the shoe company. The guy led a great life is what I'm saying. You should be proud of yourself, Jerry Marin, up there in Munchkin Heaven. You did a lot.
Are we still talking about the Munchkin?
We are.
Okay.
I've got two more minutes. I don't know if you knew, he also appeared at Twilight Zone, Seinfeld, Bewitched, Superman.
Oh, my
he was it's
more
child
than being hoped for.
Ape in the sequel Planet for the, Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Time's up.
Sorry, we're out of time. All right. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Fetty Wap. Rapper Iggy Azalea. Actress Emily Ratajkowski. She the one with the...
Yeah, okay. She sure is.
Singer Tom Jones. Weren't we just talking about him? No.
No,
we weren't at all.
Talking about Wayne Newton?
I don't think we talked about Tom Jones in 6 months.
Very, very different people.
It's work.
Holy crap. Actor Michael Cera, Bill Hader, oh, I love him so much, guitarist Dave Navarro, and, oh, top five list of men, top three, I'm going to go two.
All right.
Liam Neeson. And that's what's happening.
Look, I think an obituary is the right place to take someone to task for their life.
They're already dead, though.
Right.
They're already dead. What about please don't talk about me when I'm gone? What about that? We will talk about a disturbing slash humorous new trend called revenge obituaries coming up on The Kevin Beach Show. Our friend Dave Koechner stars with Jim Rash in a new film called Bernard and Huey. Jim Rash, who you also remember as the dean from Community, is going to be joining us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. By the way, I tweeted at him last night, Kevin, that we would pay him $1 if he would bring his Academy Award with him today.
Mm. Wow, you really ratcheted up the heat on him, huh?
I did.
With
I found
$1?
Use the money. I've never touched or seen an Oscar, have you?
Yes.
In person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Natalie has two.
Yeah.
When have you guys seen Oscars?
My neighbor had like four. He edited Scarface and French Connection and pretty much every movie that was awesome back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like four Oscars.
So when you went over to his place, you would pick him up and play with him and stuff?
I mean,
we still talking Oscars?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So Kevin, when did you hold an Academy Award?
I have a friend who's won eight.
Oh my!
For special effects,
yeah.
See, I don't have this kind of, I don't have this kind of fancy friends. So
you don't have any friends. Mm. If you just had friends, you'd be surprised sometimes that they do stuff.
Maybe I would
have
know
Emmys. Does that count?
You have Emmys.
All right.
Wow.
Moving on.
Okay. Here's the headline from Fox News. You guys, survivors penning revenge obituaries to settle scores with the departed. It's time for Who's the Dick?
Who's the Dick?
Really?
Who's the dick?
You're in charge of the button.
On myself.
The posthumous pillorying, tough word to say, pillorying of the dead or the revenge obituary is part of a growing trend that has family members digging up dirt on the deceased and getting the final word. The latest is a local newspaper obituary for Kathleen Demlow, who passed away last week at a nursing home in Springfield, Minnesota, and could barely have hit any harder. Kevin, you've got the obituary in your hand.
I mean, it's amazing. Her kids do not like her.
Mm-mm.
So they wrote the obituary, and then they paid the Redwood Falls Gazette to post it. And it starts with the, you know, normal information, the date of her birth, her marriage to Dennis Demlow in 1957, the two children she had with him. But then it takes a sharp turn, and this is literally what they write in the paper. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle Demlow.
Why? That's the kind of detail that usually doesn't make
right.
the obituary. That's kind of like, you know, the family kind of, I don't know, buries that a little bit.
They tried to bury it, except for then she, it says, then she moved to California. She abandoned her children.
Ouch.
Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clement. Or Clements, Mr. And Mrs. Joseph Shunk. And then they go on and they say she passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. They're writing about her in her obituary. Mm. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her.
Savage.
Right?
Wow.
Savage.
Wow.
Look. 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 These kids are in pain.
Right.
I mean, I look at it and go, this...
I don't think they're in... It doesn't sound like they're in pain over losing her.
I think they're in pain over the way they feel about her, over the life that they had with her, or maybe more accurately, without her. And I feel like they're probably... They're wrestling in their mind with how they should feel that their mother has died and how they do feel because they thought she was such an awful parent.
It doesn't sound like there's much wrestling going on. Right. They were pretty pretty clear. I mean,
and these kids are in their 60s. So I know that pain doesn't go away. It doesn't dissipate, especially if your mother left you.
Right.
But come on.
But after someone's gone, do you need to publish all the dirty details?
No, you can send an email to the rest of your family, like, good riddance, that be. Like, something like that. But this is...
I don't have it in front of me, but the one child who called the sibling to let her know that the mother was dead, she picked up the phone, and the sibling on the other end said, ding dong, the witch is dead. That's how the news got back to one of the kids. Yeah.
Wow.
So if the – get the reverb ready here, Kevin.
Okay.
If the question is, who's the dick? Have we decided then that there's no excuse for the kids to do this? I will tell you that the newspaper that it was – the obituary was published in got a tremendous amount of negative feedback from their readers saying, you should not have published this. And, in fact, one of the reporters for the paper even responded and said it was a very tumultuous discussion in the newsroom. I was against publishing it also, but we were out overruled.
They were also paid?
They were paid.
The newspaper?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, they were paid.
I'm guessing they had to
take
the money.
But they wouldn't put in, Nazi propaganda just because somebody paid them. I mean, they do have editorial standards, and there were people who thought that this was uncool to put this in an obituary, that it was disrespectful to the dead. And by the way, a lot of people just have that theory in general, is don't speak ill of the dead, they say.
Just because there's no way to defend themselves?
I guess.
Just as a matter of respect, I guess. But
and maybe you could look at this lady. I mean, look, she certainly wasn't a perfect parent. We know that. But she had people who loved her, I bet.
Mm.
And she had – I'm sure she did. Mm. Most people are not either all bad or all good.
This one seems to have been pretty bad.
Well, her sisters were there when she passed away in a nursing home. And one of them said, she made a mistake 60 years ago, but who hasn't? Has she regretted it over the years? Yes. So, I mean,
but if you abandon your kids.
But there's no telling how she tried to right that wrong.
Right.
Who knows what she has done over the 60 years to make it better? Who knows if she never spoke to her kids again? But I'm thinking if a phone call is made and a ding dong, the witch is dead, I'm thinking they've had discussions with mom over the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
love that they published the name of the brother, first and last name of the husband's brother who she had sex with. I mean, that's crazy.
God damn it, Lyle.
Right? Stupid Lyle, the brother, then parented us, and then she abandoned us.
Allie, I think your point is well taken, that there are so many details about this family that we don't know. So is it fair to have this version out there? By the way, they never expected this would go viral. The woman who wrote the obituary said, I just thought it would go unnoticed in the paper. It was really just for us.
Which all obituaries do to me. I've read one.
So now I feel like this is kind of the definitive retelling of this family's history in these few paragraphs or something like that. And who knows how fair or how accurate it is. So, I mean, I can see that point as well, I guess.
But Kathleen Dick, right?
I mean, she's not a great mom, if that's what we're saying. Not great.
Who's a not great mom? Is not what this is called. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Now, does that mean that everybody here becomes an inflatable today?
Do they want to be inflatables today?
Do you guys want to be inflatable?
Yes!
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember the inflatable times, you guys?
That reporter yesterday was so good.
The best. Hey, it's Thursday, and Allie is here with What's Happening.
Do we need another Tommy Lee sex tape?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he's like 60 now, right?
He's not as young as he used to be.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's probably the same, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He drove a boat.
With his
right?
wiener.
That's
yes, he did.
So maybe
we do. Well, here's... What? Say again?
That's bananas.
It is bananas. You put bananas to shame, actually. Tommy Lee's fiance, Brittany Ferlin, was outside of a mall yesterday, and she mentioned that, yeah, they make sex tapes all the time, but they won't be revealed to the public ever.
I'm sorry?
They're not releasing these tapes.
Oh.
But I believe that Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson didn't release their tape either. It was stolen from their house. Mm-hmm. And then they decided, oh, well, it's already out there. Let's go into business with the company that's releasing it.
Might as well make some money from it.
Yeah. Was it all for publicity? Who knows?
So that's what Kim did, too. Remember? Hers was out there anyway, so she went ahead and sold it.
And was it all for publicity? Who knows?
Who knows?
Is what I'm saying. So maybe one day we'll see it. Maybe he's driving a car with it.
Sure.
Right. Because he's got to switch it up, right? You don't just...
From the back seat.
Yeah, you got to make... You right. got to make the sequel a little different from the original.
You right. From the back seat.
I'm just saying, maybe it's...
Yeah. I'm just saying. Kids, look it up.
Don't it look is... it up, kids.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's move on to a Bible. That seems like a good transition. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to invest in a sacred piece of music history, it's your lucky day because a Bible that was once belonging to Whitney mm-hmm. Houston, nope, is hitting the auction block.
Bible.
A former landlord of Whitney Houston's claims she left it behind after moving out of her home in Newport Beach. She personally documented some major life events like her wedding date to Bobby Brown and the birth of her daughter, Bobby Christina, in the book. And all this can be yours for the low, low price of $95,000 is what it
will
be starting
at.
Yeah. So that's, no word on what it will go for, but...
That's not something I'm interested at all in.
No.
It's somebody else's used book. Why would you want that?
Bible.
I mean, maybe you really...
Why do you have an audio clip of somebody saying the word Bible?
Bible.
Why would you save that and think, I'm going to use it one day?
At the time, that was a Kim Kardashian thing.
Oh,
that was
right.
one of the things that she would say.
Like word.
Like word.
Yeah,
exactly.
I got
yeah.
you.
Right.
Yeah.
Worst. I cannot. I haven't checked on Dave yet, but not sure if he knows that he should be heartbroken.
Oh.
If he followed this cat on Instagram. 79,000 followers.
I'm sure he was
Loki the Sphinx. Loki died unexpectedly this week. Loki had a routine dental cleaning. Staff noticed an increase in his breathing. And little dude didn't make it through the night.
Wow.
So, Loki was nicknamed the grumpiest cat in the world. But Loki was not grumpy cat. So, was Loki like a budget? A grumpy cat? Because 79,000 followers on Instagram.
Is nothing.
Nothing, right?
Nothing. Yeah, nothing for a celebrity cat.
That's what I'm saying. Dave, you follow Loki?
Nah, he's ugly.
Oh, please.
We're just saying, speaking ill of the dead is
who's
acceptable.
The dick now,
right?
Oh, God.
Sphinx are not good-looking cats.
Wow.
They don't have hair.
So, because he looks a little different, I guess he's not valid, and Dave's glad he's dead.
The cat's not hot enough for Dave.
Yep. It sounds like it.
This is really taking a weird turn.
I get nervous when I hear stories like this, Allie, because mm-hmm. it sounds to me like they gave him a light anesthesia just to relax him so they could brush his teeth probably.
Right.
I was
going to
say, that's an aggressive cleaning.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. He's probably an older cat or something like that. That's why you always get nervous when you have mm-hmm. to, you know, even when you have to put your cat or dog in twilight for a procedure. Mm-hmm. This is always a possibility. It's very scary.
Yeah, the cat was 8 years old.
But, too young. Wow.
Too young.
But you guys ugly, according to Dave.
Very ugly.
Dave's glad he's dead.
Yeah. Right. Dave hated that cat.
You should see the obituary he wrote.
I'm glad Loki's dead.
Had no hair.
A little look into Dave's room in life.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. Moving on. Some birthdays for you. Dave Navarro, Bill Hader, Mick Foley, Michael Cera, Tom Jones, Emily Ratajkowski. That's a hard last name. Liam Neeson, Iggy Azalea, and Fetty Wap. That's what's happening.
We are the guys. We're going to hook you up with tickets for Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl. How excited are we about that Florence album coming out in a couple weeks?
Very.
Every song I've heard from it so far has been among the best songs she's ever done. I can't wait. Hollywood Bowl, September 25th, and when you win those tickets at 9 a.m., you also qualify for the VIP trip to Life is Beautiful in downtown Las Vegas with round-trip airfare on Jet Suite X and hotel. 9 o'clock, noon, 3 and 6, every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day on the world-famous K-Rock.
I'm not positive how this came up yesterday in the meeting, but we started talking about rules for eating that we have.
Like eat with your mouth closed, that kind of rule?
No, not that kind of rule. Like, it's mostly if you're in a big group, it's so annoying to have everybody make that dinner process be so long. Just get to what you're supposed to do because you're aware that there's a big group and you don't want to take more time than it has to take.
Oh, you're speaking my language right now, Kevin. You know that. So yep. I'm very much a proponent of speedy ordering.
So we were at Comic-Con, and how many people were at the table? Like 15.
It was a big group.
Yeah, it was crazy. And Bean sort of lost it, and I supported him. He started yelling. He was like, listen, don't ask them how they're fixing the food. Just order it. Everybody was like, holy crap, the guy's yelling.
Look.
And yet, right after you yelled, went pretty smoothly. Got to be honest.
Here's the thing, guys. Especially, and we've had this conversation before, not even about food. What's the number, Kevin, at which it gets almost impossible to coordinate a group evening out in Las Vegas?
Four. Oh, in Las Vegas?
Four.
Yeah.
Seriously, right?
No, seriously, yeah.
Four. Six is almost undoable.
Right. Right, exactly, because everybody's got to come in from a different place or leaving at a different time or wants to go do a different thing, and there comes a point where it just becomes unwieldy. So my only point when we travel for these things like Comic-Con or where we were in New York recently for the Grammys is that know that it's a long process because there are a lot of people, and when it's your turn, I want you to have already had in your mind, you already know that you want either the pancakes, the hash browns, or the toast. Don't ask the waitress, huh, what comes with that? And then have her read it back to you and then pause while you think about which one you want.
Old man Bean will beat you.
Well, your responsibility to the group and to America, may I say, is to have already made that decision in your head when it gets to be your turn.
Agreed.
I don't want the waitress to come around to you and that's when you think, oh, I should open up the menu and see what I want. That's the equivalent of the person in front of you at the grocery store who waits until the cashier is waiting for the money to pull the wallet out of the purse. You know what I mean? Be prepared. Have the credit card in your hand before you ever need it, is what I'm saying.
It is annoying. And I have also another rule. And then we're going to take you, if you have rules for eating, because some of these are ridiculous and some of them make sense. I have another rule, which is if the waiter or waitress comes to your table and they say, are you ready for me to take your order? Or do you need a few minutes? Mm-hmm. Never need a few minutes.
No. Never.
It could be 15, 20
But minutes. What if you need a few minutes?
Panic order.
Okay.
So what you do is,
all right.
If she comes to me and she says, are you guys ready to order? I go, yes, we are. Start right over there. And then that's when I start scanning. And by the time she gets to me, F an order.
Well,
just order something.
That's great for you. But what if the other person...
Be ready. Bean said be ready. But I'm saying this is a good way at least to take care of it. Don't send her away. Just panic order. Maybe they do the same thing.
What if everyone's panic ordering and then you just hate your dinner?
No, who cares?
Who cares?
It doesn't take so long. That's the point. You're in a rush.
Why are you guys so busy?
I don't know. We have a lot to do. But I'm just saying when there's big groups and a waiter or waitress comes over, it just is so frustrating. Yes, because, oh, no, we don't need a few minutes. Oh, why would you tell them that? I mean, you guys know that feeling.
What if you want water? Like, is that bad?
I will tell you. When we were in New York for the Grammys, he lost it again at the table.
Bean did?
Oh, yeah. He slammed his fist down and said, seriously, you guys, be ready when she comes. No question. And I didn't order what I wanted to order because I had a question about the scallops.
You did the right thing then.
I didn't know if they were pan-seared, so you right. know what? I just went with salmon. So F you, I would have liked the scallops better.
At that point, though, you have the responsibility not to slow up the group.
I was terrified of being.
I'm going to go away. By the way, if you have any restaurant rules, we want to hear about them at 1-800-520-1067. I'm going to go a step further. And by the way, I keep these, all these things that you think I'm imposing on you.
You scare the hell out of us, dude.
What yes. I'm telling you is these are my rules when I'm eating by myself, okay? Because I am respectful of the server's time as well. When the waitress comes over to me and says, hey, welcome to IHOP. Can I get you started with some water or some coffee? I not only say yes to the water and the coffee and tell her that I need the cream as well, I go ahead and order too. If she's already come over to me to ask if I want water, I'm already ready with my order so I can give it to her all at one time. One transaction. She doesn't have to come back to the table again.
But that's a little easier for you because you order the same thing every goddamn time.
Every week, right? Same thing.
So you order pancake. You already know your order before you walk in.
Right, but I'm also not wasting the server's time by making her go to the back, bring me out beverages, and then take my order. I let her do it all at one time because I'm just trying. I'm a very busy man.
He's a slave driver.
I'm very, very busy.
You guys are so not I don't, busy. Either of you.
I don't know why it drives us crazy. I think it's just big groups drive you crazy. Yeah, they just do. It's difficult to do anything as a big group.
And here's what drives me crazy. It's not at a restaurant, but like if you go out to fast food or something, don't ask me.
I have different rules for those.
Yeah, don't ask me to split an order. Like I'm getting this because I want this. Don't try to take half of what I want.
They
you're
can't even
somebody
ask.
Somebody who's in a car with you, you mean?
Yeah, unless you're my girlfriend who I will share with, don't try to split my order. Oh, that burrito looks good. Can I have half of it? No, get your own.
Who's splitting burritos?
Right? Who splits a burrito?
Assholes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call from Joseph in La Mirada because he's feeling our pain. Hi, Joseph.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. So my rule is no custom order off the menu. Don't try and grab one thing off of one plate and put it on another. Just makes you look like a jackass. And
I like
you. Never get
I like it,
right. it.
Joseph knows what's up.
Thank you. And Joseph, and may I add to this, and you tell me if you agree, if there's something that's only served at a certain time in that restaurant, don't try to talk them into bending those rules. If they only serve that till 11 a.m., don't be in there at 3 p.m. saying, yeah, but could you?
Right?
Dinner time, lunchtime's lunchtime.
Thank
if
you.
Showed up late for breakfast, go somewhere else. Go to
right.
Denny's.
Exactly.
You're a good man, Joseph.
Good American. Joseph.
All right. Lindsay, Stephen, Patrick, you guys hang on. We will get to you. We're taking your calls. If you've got food ordering rules, 1-800-520-1067. By the way, Kevin, we haven't even talked about what happens if somebody at the table orders the thing that you were going to order.
Yeah, well, that's...
haven't even talked about that yet.
Oh, no. The reason is because we've
let's,
been... Hold on.
Let's
because
hold it. Let's hold it.
We've been focused on a big group and not slowing things down. That mm-hmm. rule is just stupid.
How dare you?
That rule is just stupid. So we'll get to that in a sec. Just ahead of the Black Keys, eating, rules for eating, we're talking. And Patrick in Huntington Beach is on the line. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. So I was hoping to get a ruling on this more so than just tell my side.
Okay.
With my wife, when we go to dinner for dates, after we pay, I feel like we should absolutely get up and leave. Mm-hmm. And if we want to continue a conversation somewhere else at the bar or something, that's fine, but she...
Now, are you doing that? Are you doing that because you are trying to be considerate of other people waiting for a table, or because you just want to not spend so much time at dinner?
Well, it's twofold. One, I'm thinking about the waitress or waiter because I don't want to sit at their table and, you know, they're already getting paid. Their tip is done. So
right.
Get out. Let's get them someone else. Also, if she's been drinking, I have a limited amount of time to get her home while she's still in a good mood, and I can still make my moves.
Look, a guy's got to make his moves,
right?
We approve.
Look, there's no way we can rule against you after that that defense, Patrick. Yeah, you get her the hell out of there and get her home and do what you do, man. 1-800-520-1067. Your rules for ordering and dining out. We'll take your calls next. Coming up after the Black Keys on K-Rock.
All right, here's another rule, and this one's stupid. If somebody else at the table orders something before you.
Okay.
That you were going to order.
Uh-huh.
Move on. You got to take something else.
BS!
It's been taken. It's already been ordered.
That's not stupid at all. That makes perfect sense.
That is insane.
Absolutely.
What?
Of course.
What are you talking about?
You can't order the same thing as somebody else ordered at the table,
Alan. Thank you.
What are we,
savages? Come on.
You're not sharing, right?
I think it's a competitive thing. Like, oh, you win.
You
now I have to
win
something else.
You guys are insane.
Look, that's why you want to order first and order the best thing on the menu,
right?
Because you freeze out everybody else's
table.
Then
you burn the table.
You guys are insane. This is the most nuts thing I've ever heard, because you're both serious.
Well, yes, we are.
Of course. But Rachel writes in, by the way, my brother refuses to order the same thing as someone else. He says the food doesn't taste as good if someone else at the table is eating it. Thank you, Rachel. Your brother knows what he's talking about.
Rachel, your brother is nuts.
1-800-520-1067, talking about your restaurant rules. Let's go to Gary and Hemet, line six. And we hadn't talked about this, but the restaurant rules can also apply to the drive-through.
Oh, don't get me started on the drive-through.
Gary, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on.
And most of the time, all their stuff's blasted on the windows already. So you're driving up there, and then you cruise by the first menu without the speaker. You drive by the real slow, and they still don't know what they want to order. They get the speaker, and the lady asks, "Can I help you, sir? I order my food. What do you want?" They don't know. They still don't know. And then they start yelling it over your shoulder at the speaker. Don't yell in my ear. Be ready before we get here.
So you're talking about the passenger in the car. You're the driver. Yeah, you know what you want. Your passenger doesn't.
The passenger is an idiot.
The passenger gets right out of the car.
Out of the car. Exactly.
They already knew where we were going. We're going to Del Taco. They already know where we're getting.
Right. For the most part, when you go to a fast food restaurant, you do order pretty much the same thing every time.
Yep.
So if you don't know, then that's ridiculous. I'm with you, Gary.
You dump them in the parking lot, Gary. That's what you do. Thank you for the call. So appreciate that. Let's go to Zuri, Long Beach, line three. I'm not sure that I'm going to agree with this one, but let's hear her out.
Hey, Zuri.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
It's kind of like a thing after you eat, you know, at least carry some cash, because there's people like, say, six in a party, let's split up a bill. Put $23 on this card, put 18. Can you imagine the server trying to break that up and be like, really, these people can't pay?
Oh, so you're in favor of if everybody brings a little cash, then they can all pitch in, and then you don't have to split it on all the credit cards.
Yeah, and it's just like that way the server's not rolling their eyes as they're walking away.
Yeah, that's a nightmare scenario when you have to split it on five credit cards or something.
Right?
It really is.
Zuri is correct.
Yep, I think we're going to rule with you, Zuri. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Sam, line two. Sam is calling from somewhere.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. the one that drives me insane is with my kids. I had to implement this rule years ago. They'd order up a ton of appetizers, get full on that, and have the meal ordered for the next day that they didn't intend to eat at all. They're just over-ordering.
Oh, so they would order enough to make sure they had food to take home to eat the next day?
Yes.
I mean, Sam, you just raised smart kids. That's what I'm hearing.
That would drive me insane. I would tell them every time. And so I had to finally start telling the waiter or waitress, no, all they're having is appetizers.
You're worse than us.
Wow. And we were just accused by Tracy of being a food bully. I think we're nothing compared to Sam. All right, let's do one more. Let's make it to Lindsay, line one, Orange. Good morning, Lindsay. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
This isn't a rule that has, like, taken off yet, but I'd like it to.
Okay.
It's, you know, whenever you have a big group and everyone's, like, looking at the bill, doing math, and they're passing it around slowly, it drives me crazy. So I like to take a picture of the bill and text it to the whole group so we can all do math quietly for, like, a second.
Wow.
And then the conversation can resume.
Do you ever do credit card roulette?
No, we've never done credit card roulette.
That's pretty good. You put all the credit cards in, you pull one out, that guy pays for the meal. Boom.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I like that Lindsay's like, I'm going to give you guys a minute to look at this bill silently.
Do your math.
Do your math, and then we'll all come back together. That's amazing.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so taxing. You're just sitting there watching people, like, getting ready to do your math, and it's like, where's the conversation going? You have a lovely meal, and then you have to just take a minute.
And I can tell you, once the bill gets to Allie, you're stuck for like 20 minutes.
I am confused. I'm just like, someone handle this. I can't.
See, and as a former waitress, I don't mind handling it, but I get really, clearly I'm kind of bossy. It's like, I don't want to do that to everybody. But at the very least, can we just not play pass around for a minute? I just drive.
Yes.
Wow.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear so many people keeping the server in mind, too, by the way, because that is a tough job.
Yeah.
I know we said Lindsay was going to be last, but let's literally squeeze in one more. Carolina, line four, please. Carolina's in L.A. So nobody has thought of this before,
and
she's
smart.
Absolutely right.
Carolina, hi.
Hi. I have a friend, every time we go to a restaurant, ask the waiter or waitress what they recommend.
Don't do
it. Nobody likes it. The waiter doesn't like it. We hate it, and it takes forever.
So don't ask for the waiter's recommendation. Just pick something and order it.
It's on the menu. Look, the menu is there to describe what is available to order at the restaurant. Choose from what's on the menu.
Right, but you're not even in favor of asking the waiter or waitress, like, what's your best thing here?
Nope.
What are you known for here?
Nope.
What if you say, I'm trying to decide between this, and then the waiter sometimes is truthful and is like, seriously, don't go with the steak.
Look.
I like that.
If all you want to do is talk, start a podcast, Allie, all right? If you're there to eat, order and eat and get out.
Right?
It's a time trial. That's what it is. You get in and you get out. And anything that slows you down, you die.
This is a Juan from the 714. My wife and I have a rule that if you're skinny and recommend a good place to eat, it's an automatic nope.com. It's a good point right there. You don't want to hear restaurant recommendations from a skinny person, right?
I haven't thought of that.
You want to go someplace where you get fat, where the food is good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We've been seeing a lot of you in this room lately.
I know. The listeners love it, guys.
By the way, we just asked Omar if he had any rules, and he said no, but I always followed the ones that you guys said.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I've done the tea.
I burned lightning last week. We went out to lunch, and he wanted a salad. I ordered a salad. He had to eat a burger. He was so miserable eating his burger.
You guys are the worst. Order what you want.
If somebody orders it before you, it's off the table.
Yep.
Nuts.
Omar is the co-host of the very popular B-Team podcast that you can get wherever you get the Kevin and Bean podcast at KROQ.com or Apple Podcasts or whatever. So it's he, and it's David King of Mexico, and it's Beer Mug, and it's a show about the show. Mm-hmm. They tell behind-the-scenes stories and the history of the Kevin and Bean show. How far into this are you? Like 30 episodes or something, right?
We just recorded episode 39 yesterday.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah. And there's so much stuff on, I don't listen to it, but I understand there's so much stuff on the B-Team podcast that Kevin and I have no memory of doing.
Yeah, so Lightning was hoarding this hard drive with a bunch of old school Kevin Bean stuff from the early 90s that I've been going through. And last episode, episode 38, I found a bit where you guys called LaToya Jackson to talk about her country record from Nashville to you. And so, I was like, what?
Why did we do that?
It's an excellent question, and I have some audio that I want to present for you guys. And I think Michael Jackson had just married Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, okay. So it was to ask questions about the Jackson family.
Exactly.
Okay. So what year are we thinking here, Omar?
I'm thinking 94-ish.
Okay.
Around there. And you guys weren't totally convinced that you guys should speak to LaToya, so you guys decide to, on the air, flip for it.
All right, let's flip. Seriously, let's flip.
Let's just call her.
Lightning, you have a coin?
I have a nickel right here.
You have a nickel?
All right, let's flip. Flip on whether to call LaToya or not?
Heads.
Well, first of all, Frank, our producer in studio, are we going to get you in any kind of trouble? What bridges are we burning here if we don't do the LaToya interview at all?
Well, LaToya,
she is pretty worthless. I'll grant Kevin she's pretty worthless.
Let's set this up for the fine K-Rock listening audience. Those of you who listen to this program, we think that LaToya Jackson, or at least this is Kevin speaking now, is a bag of hot air, has nothing to say, and the only reason she's famous is because she talks bad about her family.
I agree with that.
Oh, remember when she used to talk so badly about her family all the time?
All the time.
Allie, you remember that? Because you're looking at me like I'm a dick.
I'm just looking at you because that's your voice.
That's my voice.
Okay. I want to get me in on some of that action.
Well, why would we want to talk to her? Because she has nothing to say. Heads, we'll call her. Tails, we won't.
All right, here we go. Heads.
All right, best 3 out of 5. Best 3 out of 5.
Are we bypassing 2 out of 3 and going right to 3 out of 5?
Right to 3 out of 5.
Right.
Now,
what am I going to tell Jack Gordon?
We don't care. What's your problem?
I dropped it there. What bridge are we burning if we...
We're not. We're burning the whole...
It's over that way.
So Jack Gordon.
You can't
is...
drop the coin.
All right.
What the hell are we doing?
I don't know. This is on the air, guys.
What? So we lost the coin and we're just crawling around on the ground?
That's what's happening, guys.
What? Why would anyone listen to this?
Heads again. That's two. You know, if you have to go through this much trouble to decide whether to even do the interview, you really shouldn't do the interview. Tails.
All right, go 2 to 1.
All right.
Come on.
This is it.
Tails.
Tails.
2 to 2,
oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, deciding.
Best 3 out of 5.
So it all comes down to this one right here.
Come on, like a clip of the coin. Don't make me go away on vacation.
Heads!
On a weekend of vacation, have any time to
LaToya
Jackson.
Looks like we're calling LaToya Jackson. How about a little canned heat while we're waiting?
Why
are we wasting this much time? We still haven't talked to LaToya.
Why'd you go to canned heat?
Why?
Why'd we go to Candy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that a song we were playing then?
I don't know. No, it's K-Rock.
I don't think so.
Guys, you're asking us questions about a bit we did 24 years
we've
ago.
Done
why do you think
so
we would know
so many bits. We don't remember most
Listen,
of this.
I
don't remember ever flipping for a guest. That's
isn't that
weird.
Crazy?
Okay. And not just flipping, best of five.
Yeah, well, being rightly pointed out, you're skipping right up over two out of three. All right, let's continue.
So Jack Gordon, her husband manager, is also affiliated with John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, that's we don't want to burn the John Wayne Bobbitt bridge,
that's
man.
The connection.
There's a lot of these big bridges we don't Hello?
Okay. So that's how you guys got her. She was pimping out this country record. You guys wanted to, you put the feelers out because you wanted to talk to somebody in the Michael Jackson family about the marriage. And you finally get LaToya Jackson on the phone.
LaToya Jackson.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're good. Did we wake you up?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
LaToya, have you ever heard of the band Canned Heat? They played Woodstock?
I'm afraid I haven't.
You sound just like their lead singer. I'm just noticing that today. You have the same voice as their lead singer.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because we were listening to your CD From Nashville to You.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
No, we weren't, were we? No, we weren't listening to that CD. No. Why would we tell her that?
Wait, her voice doesn't even sound like a real person, does it?
It doesn't.
She
it
always
doesn't.
Had that little child voice.
And she's pretty clueless.
Really?
And, yeah. And so Bean tells her that, hey, your CD not only has a country vibe, but it also has a little Las Vegas feel to it. And she disagrees, and you guys decide to put her on hold and talk behind her back.
Oh.
Okay, hold on, LaToya. Just a minute.
She doesn't sound... Can she hear us on hold?
No.
She doesn't sound like she knows what she's talking about. It's her album. How can she listen to this music and tell me it's not Vegas? How can she not know it's Vegas?
It's not country.
She knows less about her album than she does about Michael.
Seriously, let's just end the conversation here and tell her things.
Well, let's just ask her about the Michael Jackson thing, though. All right. Want to find out, you know, how she found out about it and stuff like that.
Now, my recollection is that we weren't supposed to ask her about the Jackson family.
That's probably
all
what
she
they,
wanted
that was
to
the
do
rule.
Was promote her country album.
Exactly.
Right?
And where do you guys go?
Do you talk with Michael now?
I haven't spoken to Michael in a long, long time.
How long is a long time? Since before the Geraldo show? Because I know you went on the Geraldo show, and it seemed to me like you were being rather unkind to your brother.
Oh, no.
No, I wasn't being unkind to him at all.
Well, I mean, you were guessing that he was abusing children. And if that were me...
I don't think this is the issue or what we should be talking about, because that's, you know, we started the conversation off and then now we get on the family, and I thought we were talking about me and my record instead of him. But again, I'm not here to talk about my family. I want to put that behind me and I want to move forward.
Are you pretty much distancing yourself from the rest of the family?
So if you want to talk about them, you can call them and give them a call and talk to them.
Okay, thank you.
See you later.
Boom!
Why?
Wow.
Yes. I don't have time for that crap. Ladies and gentlemen, the exclusive LaToya Jackson interview.
Why?
Wow.
Why would we flip a coin?
I don't know, but I love it. I love that entire thing. We need. Hey, Dave, you have LaToya Jackson's number?
Nope. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
By the way, next week's B-Team podcast the boys are releasing is going to feature our interview with Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I think we threw him out.
Actor Dustin Diamond. I think he's one of two guests we've thrown out in the history of this show. So that's something that you can look forward to wherever you get your podcast, the B-Team podcast next week.
First, we threw his friend out, if I recall correctly. He brought a friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they were making little sound effects to each other while we were on the air.
Trying to do an interview.
What are you doing?
So we kicked
his friend out. And then,
it was pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Okay. 7:52 Thursday morning. Allie is here with another look at what's happening.
Well, what's happening is Disney Pixar's Incredibles 2 is in theaters. Yeah. On June 15th. But how would you like to go see it with, I don't know, three of your friends early on June 11th? That's right. I've got a four-pack of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Disney Pixar's Incredibles 2 at AMC Century City on June 11th. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and caller 25 is going to get that four-pack of passes.
You must see that movie.
Well, you can. It's out on the 15th, unless you're the caller. Number 25, you and three friends. It's a four-pack.
Right. That's how four works.
Yeah. Prince would be 60 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. He seems timeless, so to put an age on him feels odd. But with his birthday comes great news about an unreleased album, Piano and a Microphone, 1983. It's an LP that's going to be released in September with the blessing of the late artist's estate. And as the title suggests, Piano and a Microphone, 1983, was recorded by him in 1983, and it's nine super intimate home recordings, just Prince making them at the piano. The track list includes a cover of Joni Mitchell's A Case of You, as well as early versions of Purple Rain, 17 Days, and Strange Relationship. And a song we can hear right now. It's a version of the 19th century spiritual, Mary, Don't You Weep. It's included, and it's also going to be featured on the soundtrack of Spike Lee's upcoming movie, Black Klansman. So here's a little bit of Prince doing Mary, Don't You Weep.
Boopy-dee-scoop.
Nope. How dare you?
Mary, don't you weep. Oh, mother, don't you bow. Oh,
this is Prince?
That
but that's
a
Ray
man.
Charles.
No, that is
Charles.
Prince just filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a man doing a spiritual. And by doing it, he is singing.
He is singing. That's true.
Right?
I will say that the word is that Prince has hundreds of songs that are unreleased in his vaults.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was a guy who definitely over-recorded. So I am really curious to see what they're going to be coming out with in the years to come from Prince.
Absolutely. This album will be released September 21st and, of course, available to pre-order now on CD, LP, deluxe CD and LP, digital release, and pre-save for streaming.
Amen to that.
That's what I'm saying. This is really interesting news. An individual with knowledge of the production of the Top Gun sequel, Top Gun Maverick,
yeah,
says that... yeah, Val Kilmer will be in it. Right?
Okay.
Because we were thinking, well, he hasn't been that healthy. He hasn't really been around.
Right.
What's going to happen? But apparently, someone with knowledge told the rep that, yeah, he's going to be in it. A rep for Paramount declined to comment on the casting of Kilmer, but he has been spotted around the San Diego hotel that the studio has been using since production began last week.
Hmm.
So he was the Iceman, right?
Iceman, yeah. Cometh, yeah. Is he just hanging out in the lobby? Like, maybe they have, you know,
maybe they don't want him in
bagels.
He's just,
and he's like, hey, who's in?
Still here.
I don't know. I mean, that would be wonderful if he's in it.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. The new film.
We have Val Kilmer on just to prove he's not dead.
Wait, he's not dead?
See, exactly.
The new film is set to hit theaters July 12th, 2019.
2019?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Anthony Edwards will be back, though.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, I forgot he was in that.
Oh, Goose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Right?
Right.
Remember?
No.
Not at all?
Yeah!
Okay.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave?
We were talking about cats earlier because of that Loki, the Sphinx, passing away. Real sad. That hairless cat that Dave didn't care about because it was ugly.
Because
it was
didn't
ugly. Have care. Hair. So maybe he's going to care about this one. Having a personal assistant can come in very handy. Except this is about a dog.
What?
Wait, what?
What's happening right now? I'm very confused. Having a personal assistant can come in very handy. Is that what you said?
This has nothing to do with the cat.
Except for this is about a dog.
Thank you. Let's listen to some canned heat, shall we? All right, what's the story now, Allie?
What,
you guys, remember 5 a.m.?
Sure.
That was weird, too.
Take two.
Okay, so here's the thing. Having a personal assistant comes in very handy, especially if they know doggy CPR. Katy Perry revealed on Instagram stories that her trusty right-arm woman, Tamara, saved her doggy's life Little Nugget fell off the bed, became unresponsive, so Tamara sprung into action. The little tiny brown poodle had passed out for 3 minutes.
Wow.
So her assistant pushes on Little Nugget's chest, blew in Little Nugget's mouth. Nugget alive and well. So a lot like the story of the cat that wasn't alive.
Was a strange setup.
This dog is.
Okay.
Please. I mean.
Please.
Guys.
So there's that.
I mean, it's Friday, right?
Really feels like
it. Right?
Really, really feels like it. Hey, when I come back, we're going to talk about Judge Judy.
You have to.
I mean, listen, no. No. Judge Judy and that $47 million a year.
Yes.
Is it money well spent?
Okay.
We're going to talk about that because ratings for the May book have been released.
Right.
Just saying. Tease. It is money
well
spent.
It's not much of a tease. The ratings are down, and so is she worth it?
Oh, is that it, Kevin? Stay tuned. Some birthdays for you. Good God. Fetty Wap, Iggy Azalea, Liam Neeson, Emily Ratajkowski, Tom Jones. Tom Jones is not Wayne Newton. We learned that in The Five. Michael Cera, Mick Foley, Bill Hader, and Dave Navarro. And that's what's happening.
Is it good or bad that our listeners always think of us whenever they see some sort of mad pooper story? Is that the kind of show you want to be associated with? Is when listeners see a guy pooping in a neighborhood, they think, oh, that reminds me of Kevin and Bean.
Yep. Look, we're lucky anyone thinks of us at all for anything. So if it's the mad pooper, I will rejoice.
Poopy-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
I guess one of my questions would be, why are there so many mad poopers in the news lately? This is at least the fourth one in the last year.
Yeah, it does seem like they're ramping it up for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, we had the mad pooper.
Mad pooper.
Remember? And then we had the phantom pooper.
Phantom pooper.
Mm-hmm. And this is the poo jogger. They call him the poo jogger. That is the hashtag. He's trending all over Australia.
Uh-huh.
And why?
Why? I don't know why.
Let's.
Why does it happen once?
Yes.
Let alone more than once.
This, the poo jogger, hashtag poo jogger, apparently has pooped in this neighborhood. I guess it's a, I don't know, it's just a regular neighborhood in Melbourne. And 30 times in the past year, it is estimated that he has pooped.
Now, so at that point, it's not an emergency because.
Right.
Because you could then change your schedule or whatever.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't.
30 times. Is it like the thrill an exhibitionist gets? Is it doing something private in public and you hope that you get seen? Because most of the time he's not being seen. Most of the time he's just going out doing his damage and then going home. So it doesn't make sense to me that he would get that thrill.
All right. You're not going to like this idea. Your immediate response is going to be no.
Okay.
We should have people call in.
No. No.
You're asking questions,
mad
right?
Mad poopers?
Yeah, who have done it in their life at any point. Because it would be fascinating to ask them this question. Why?
I don't think we have listeners who have been mad poopers.
Do not underestimate them.
So Steve Smith, who's a neighbor, I don't know why he's the guy who was in charge of finding out who the culprit was, but they set up some night cameras and they got a few images from a distance so they knew about what time he was doing it. So then he decided to stay outside at night and wait, you know, with a camera for him to come along.
Do you think he napped throughout the day? He's like, listen, I got to do this
right?
tonight. Like he set
I got a shift
up for
tonight.
This, yeah. Right?
What are you going to do? I'm just going to be watching for a pooper.
So, Allie, you opened up your email last night, and with very little warning, this photograph presented itself.
Kevin sends this email. No, like, hey, when you open this, a huge picture of an old man taking a dookie is going to pop up.
But you can't see any of it. It's just him
yeah,
in
you
position.
See bare, you see the side of his bare ass, though, he's just bent over.
He's
it
ready.
Is the whole frame
he's
when
ready.
You open your email.
I mean,
yeah, it's a big, clear
it
photo.
It was a big
too.
Picture, Lord. Yes.
It's clear. So, again, why, first of all.
Okay, I got your answer is that we need to talk to people, but go ahead.
Andrew Douglas McIntosh.
Ooh, Dr. Drew.
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe. Okay, go ahead.
Andrew Douglas McIntosh has been arrested, by the way. He is the poo jogger. He is a national quality manager at a big-time Australian retirement village company. He's also a member of the Brisbane City Council Board.
Sweet.
Oh, dear.
How about that? And this photo, by the way, it looks like a stock photo. It is...
It looks posed.
Yes, it's beautifully composed. It's in color. It's clear.
That's part of what Ali hated about it.
I really did.
The size of it and the clarity.
So Steve Smith jumps out of the bushes. He's waiting in the bushes. He sees the guy, who, by the way, has toilet paper in hand. And
he's being responsible.
He snaps his photo. Wow. Steve Smith says, I expected to be met with abuse, but instead the man gave a friendly hello before continuing on his way. It was very strange.
A friendly hello?
Yes. In other words, he didn't freak out that his photo was being taken and his cover had been blown. So he has been charged with one count of public nuisance. I feel like there should be more charges than just that.
Littering, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
See what you did?
Yeah, I made nuisance poosance. Just because it sounds like it.
So... I don't know that we need to talk to
Poopers, but at some point, wouldn't you like to ask someone who's done it, why do you do it?
I mean, I guess we always talk about this as with the high-speed chases, as we ask why they make the decisions they do. I guess maybe
it has to be a fetish, right?
It has to be a turn-on, right?
Right.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
But how have we almost never heard of this or heard of this years apart, and now all of a sudden there's one every 3 months, though? Is it like the new planking or something? I mean, is it now?
Yes.
Is this an internet?
Some people combine the two. Great example.
What I'm just saying is this poo jogger inspired by the Phantom Pooper, the Mad Pooper, and all the other poopers? He goes, I guess that's the thing we're doing now. I'll do it too.
I mean, I doubt it. The guy's on the, what did you say, city board or something?
Yes. Yeah, city council. Yeah.
I doubt that guy's going on the internet and seeing somebody else's pooping and going, this is the
idea. I don't know.
This is for me.
Maybe there's poo message boards.
Okay.
Yeah, they all get together. They're like, when are you dropping it? Oh, 7 p.m.
You think they coordinate them around the world?
Yes.
Sure. There's a Reddit AMA.
Coordinated poop drops.
There's currently a mystery pooper on the loose in Toronto.
Yes,
by the way,
that
they're looking for. They've got photos up in the neighborhood. They think they know who he is, but they haven't caught him yet. So I don't know. I know that I don't like it, and I know that I like it. I don't want to be associated with it.
I'm just saying, at some point, we're going to have to ask for that.
If you're a bad pooper, call. That's what you're saying.
I think at some point.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah,
I'm not positive we want to let Ali talk to the guests today.
Maybe not today. We're having trouble following her.
Come on.
Much less Academy Award winning actor and writer and producer and comedian.
Yes, get them
and
all
improver,
in. Right? Get them all in.
Uh-huh. What am I missing?
His name?
Sex symbol? Jim Rash, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Rash.
Ah, thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
We apologize about Ali. I know she's been talking to you off the air, and that's been painful.
Yeah, we got into a fight and no one heard, but it was intense, but we made up, and I think we can be friends.
I think making up was the best part.
God, that was so good. I think it took about 5 seconds.
Yeah. I'm so happy to see you again. It's always a lot of fun. It's been a couple of years since you've been in.
It has been a couple of years, guys.
We'll talk about your new film, Renard and Huey, in a minute. But you do, it seems to me like, you do so much more voice acting than you do camera acting. Am I wrong about that?
Not of late, no. You know, people have decided, you know what we like is just the voice. So, which is fine. No, I have actually been doing like Mike Tyson Mysteries for Adult Swim.
That's still a thing?
Yes. Yeah,
No, the only reason I'm asking is because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I can't remember, we interviewed Mike Tyson at Comic-Con about that show.
Oh, yeah?
And I just assumed,
still
that it didn't make it, you mean?
I just assumed that it would make it one season or whatever. It didn't look great at the time, but maybe
they got it on its fourth season.
Oh,
fourth
season. It's really good, yes. Yeah.
How about that? Tell me about the world of voice acting. That seems like the best of all worlds.
It's, you cannot complain, you know, as far as the amount of time. Well, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, you know, like little 4-hour segments. But usually you're going in there for an hour, crank it out, and then you're on your way. Yeah.
An hour.
Yeah, sometimes.
And you've done like the big ones, DuckTales and Family Guy and
Rick and Morty.
Yes, yeah,
Rick and Morty.
Yes, I did. Yes, all of those.
Wow.
I was not going to fight that. For 2 seconds, I was like, "Wait a minute!"
You started to really question the list.
No, he's right.
Okay, so here's my next question, and this does tie into your new film, Jim, which is you are crazy buff in Bernard and Huey. First of all, we saw way too much of your body in that film. Way too much.
Did we?
Is that a possibility?
I don't think so.
Yes. I thought we saw
it is
too
a possibility.
Wow.
If I can answer,
tell me the truth.
This is where I get up and leave.
Were you stunned when Jim Rash took off his shirt and he is ripped?
Not only ripped chest wise, arm wise, even some shots in your pants.
Whoa.
What?
I feel like I've seen the film a number of times and I forgot where my... But your legs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, those are some defined little getaway sticks.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is if you're mostly doing... Look, if your silver screen, hunk days are behind you and you're mostly doing voice work, why on earth are you working
keep
out
it
so
up?
Much?
Because you'll be surprised. My voice sounds best when I'm doing push-ups at the same time. Oh. So usually when I go in to record any of these... number of animation things. They go, Jim, you need to
take your shirt
squats.
Off.
Yeah.
Take your shirt off. And then I go, wait a minute, this feels weird. And then I'm like, well, that's Hollywood.
Right, that's
you
a
have
dentist.
Been acting for 20-something years now. Have you ever done as much nudity as you did in this new film?
No, I guess not. Well, no, that's not true. I think I was more... I think Community was I reached a level of nudity that obviously you didn't totally.
I thought
I know
was mostly
how nude
Joel
I
running
was.
Around
there
everywhere.
Were times where I was in those little flesh underwear many times running down the halls of Community, yeah. Pixelated. So I was probably more nude there as was Joel.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah. They
together.
always look for ways to make Joel take a shirt off for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Are you at all comfortable with that when you're filming a movie like this?
There's awkward. It can be a little awkward. I mean, Bernard and Huey, we were such a fast, it was so small movie with small budget. You're shooting pretty fast. So Sasha Alexander, who plays sort of my ex with benefits in the movie, she, you're sort of like, here we go. All right. So, I wasn't naked, but, you know.
Right. Mm. Right. This,
not sure what that noise
was. That
was.
Response?
Yeah. I just like, oh, okay. Mm.
She just right. didn't, whatever it was you just said, she didn't mind.
Yeah, I was like, I think you were naked.
Okay.
All right.
Because
fine.
It's a, because it's a small budget movie and doesn't have the benefit of the Deadpool 2 advertising budget. tell folks about Bernard and Huey.
Bernard and Huey stars myself and David Koechner, Mae Whitman as well. And basically it is Jules Pfeiffer, who is like a Pulitzer-wise. He's wise of Pulitzer.
Sure.
Winning, Oscar-winning, writer. He and
fellow Oscar-winning Jim.
Sure. Yes. And he wrote this back in 1986. It's basically about two friends who grew up together, sort of were estranged, and for 30 years reunite, sort of an odd couple style when Dave Koechner's character Huey shows up at my door, and then I end up having a relationship with his daughter Mae Whitman. Mm. So it's sort of like a men in the middle of a midlife crisis, and the smart women who
I like that when he shows up.
Fix them.
I like when he shows up at your door. You don't recognize him at all.
No, not at all. he's changed. He's 30 years. Yes, takes a while.
We know Dave Koechner pretty well. He's been on the show many times over the years, and he'll be the first to tell you that he never says no to anything because he has 5 kids. So he's got to work. What about Rich Jim Rash? What attracted you to this? What made you say yes?
Wow, I'm being really painted.
I mean, tell us about Rich
I'm
Jim Rash.
I'm floored by the Rich part. What?
What attracted Rich Jim Rash to this? Because you have your pick of projects.
They said
yes to Bernard and Huey.
They said, would you like to be a lead? Yes. I mean, that was that. Okay. No, the truth is that I had just finished Community and played Dean Pelton for like 6 years. And this was a chance to do something that was a departure from that. And I think those are moments that you as an actor want to grab. Certainly when you have been seen a certain way, especially in television, sometimes they'll start throwing things that feel very similar to you. Mm-hmm. And
that seems so lazy.
Well, I think they just know that is something that
you can
do very well.
Okay.
And they would love some sort of that into their show or a version of that.
You see actors and actresses all the time take other roles and they're successful at doing it. And
absolutely.
You go, well, how come?
I think sometimes it's like they have to see it. And you know, whether it's in the room when you audition or whether you have to sort of push harder and get into that room and prove it to them, it's just a fact, you know, I think.
That's how it works.
All right, this is going to sound like a dumb and possibly naive question, but you seem like, and the word is that you're a very, very nice man, Jim.
Yeah, okay.
Is there anything about
right, he's not buying what you're saying.
No, let me see where he's going
okay.
with this.
Is there anything that was difficult about playing, frankly, a dick?
Oh, wow. You know what?
Because you nailed it.
Is what yeah, nailed, thank you. Thank you very
you're real
much.
Good at it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I tapped into that thing that I pushed down inside of me, that demon. No, but I write those type of characters, or at least I prefer to write those characters, flawed, not always like a dick per se, but someone who has a lot of, you know, to find out the context within these characters, to find out why the way they are, you know, the demons they're battling, and maybe, you know, I think that comes to find some interesting layers to do it. So I do like flawed characters. I do like, you know, characters that might be difficult to like or understand, but as soon as you do, as soon as you hear what's going on behind the scenes, I think, like in life,
sure.
we may not want to be around that person on a daily basis. They might be toxic in our world. However, we go, I now get them, you know, so there's almost a sympathy and understanding of them.
That was a really good answer, Jim.
Thank you.
That was real good.
Well, I tried.
The film is called Bernard and Huey. It's in select theaters and video on demand tomorrow, Friday, June 8th, starring Jim Rash and our friend Dave Koechter. More with Jim right after this on K-Rock. Don't forget, more Florence and the Machine tickets you can win for the show coming up at the Hollywood Bowl at 9 a.m. and then qualify to see the band and all the rest at the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. That's coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Hey, it's Academy Award winner Jim Rash in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Best known as the salesman Bill in, according to Jim, in one episode of 2002.
Would you
I'm
say
sure everybody
how
remembers
you...
him from that?
Yeah, I'm surprised there are not more T-shirts out there with my
or salesman
Jim
Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, let me ask you because I'm so in awe of anyone who wins an Academy Award, and yours was for the adapted screenplay for The Descendants, and then you wrote with your collaborators a wonderful movie called The Way Way Back that
Thank you.
With Steve Carell that we love so much. It's very difficult to write a movie, right?
It is not easy. I'm not going to lie. Writing is a love-hate thing. You love when it's done, and then you're excited, and then you start another one, and you realize, oh, this is why I hated it. And
I want to know about the life of a writer. Do you start a lot of
no writers
start
are
a lot
going,
of things?
That's true.
Huh? Do you start a lot of things and then abandon them because you
yes.
They don't work and it's too
I don't
hard?
Know if they don't work, but you might revisit them later and they start to work because you're missing some piece. I mean, I've written a number of things that you write a whole thing and it seems broken, and then you go back and you just take one little thing out of it, and that becomes a much better movie or pilot. Or even when I was in The Groundlings, you know, sketch wise, you would bail on a sketch 2 pages in that was more fortuitous because you'd be like, this is terrible. No eyeball should ever. And no ear should hear this, or no eyeball should see this.
And do you find people are receptive to you in Hollywood with your ideas? Or is it still, even though you've won an Oscar, is it still you really have to beat down doors to get anybody to let you make a movie?
Look, I think you, at best, you could say, you know, the Oscar was open the door a little bit, but you still got to go in with something that people, that entices them or has a good, you know, so it's still a difficult, you know, we're, you know, Nat and I made way back, I think 2013 it came out, and, you know, we've been up to bat close to make a second movie, but then, you know, things fall apart, so inevitably it's just a difficult, you know, especially for smaller movies to get to the end game.
It always seems to us like once you win the Oscar for writing, everything you do from that point on, because
people
you obviously
watch.
Know
yeah.
what you're doing.
You know,
look at all the movies that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have written.
Thank you, Ali. That's where
thing.
I was going with
I
this.
I know. I'm just going to say the truth is sometimes, you know, you it doesn't matter. It's like very more accomplished writers will say, I've got good stuff and I've got bad stuff. It just happens. You know, things fall apart. It's not always exactly perfect. I think there are writers who have a much better skill set than I do as far as the speed of which they write. I'm a little slow.
Right.
I like to write, rewrite, so it takes a little bit longer. But also I would say that, you know, sometimes, you know, as a writer, for me, you write something and then people like it, and then you start another one and you have this fear about being a fraud. Like, did I have one in me? So then
right.
you struggle. So, and I'm not saying that's what that is, because obviously you wrote way, way back in The Descendant. So far it's okay.
Yeah, so far so good.
But
good.
I could take you all home right now, mm-hmm. and that's an invitation.
All right.
And you will see a closet full of stuff that, again, no eyeballs, no ears.
Right.
Should receive the information on these pages.
Do okay. you ever think I need, because you're so good at comedy, if you've never seen him do Groundlings work, it is phenomenal. Do you ever just want to write a pure slapstick comedy, or do you think because you can do it so well, it would be hard for you to watch other people do it?
No, I think there it's always the idea of doing something with a little bit less, you know, more levity and just mm-hmm. for fun is absolutely something I would love to do. And that, you know, we even started, you know, way, way back started, and our idea was, let's just do a fun comedy in a water park.
Oh,
and then I happened.
That changed.
Yeah, that changed quite a bit. And so we're writing, you know, stuff. And then I don't know what it was, but I told him the story of what happened to me, which is what starts the actual way, way back, which was when my stepfather asked what I was on a scale from 1 to 10. People have heard this story. And I said 6, and he said, you're a 3. And so
it's just a heartbreaking story.
Real quick, and if no one's
every
heard that story, they're like, wow.
Oh.
Good luck, Jim. So that just sort of changed it for us, and we realized the family stuff was sort of writing itself as we just started.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's not autobiographical after that, but it just worked out that way.
It's
again, the same thing.
Film.
You start one way, and then you end another.
Do you think – I have to get back and ask your professional opinion. You may not want to give it on the air, but Ali brought up one of the great mysteries in Oscar history is Ben and Matt winning that Oscar for Good Will Hunting and never wrote another word again by all accounts.
I guess what? To our knowledge. You know,
to our knowledge.
They might have, and they just haven't made it.
Is it possible that you can write a movie that great and never have another idea that comes to fruition, though?
I think it's possible. I think if you – I mean, I'm not saying one-hit wonders are like that in music, mm-hmm. but obviously they probably wrote other things, but they're known for one thing. I think
–
boom.
Somebody else.
I didn't want to say
it. Is that what you're saying, Conspiracy Bean?
Wow. That's not what you're saying.
I'm just asking our expert
That's
in studio
not what
today,
he thinks.
We just blew
wow.
the lid off of one-hit wonders.
Wow.
And everybody is swerving in their cars. I think there's got to be – I cannot imagine there's not people who have written one novel. There's not – you know, I think – I don't know if you have another one story in you, but sometimes people are like, I want it to speak to me that this is – you know, I don't know. I can't speak for
– Speak for them.
Okay.
I know. We're all just speculating and none of us know. But the truth of the matter is, at least in their case, they both went on to have enormously successful careers as actors and mm-hmm. might have just said – It's so much easier just acting.
Mm-hmm. I would at least say
you can
maybe.
Get behind that. Yeah,
I mean, and also, you know, directing as well, I'm sure. And so I think, you know,
and Affleck's a great director.
Some things your career goes a different way, and yes, it might feed something else. Believe me, there are times, you know, especially when I was on Community, I was just happy to be there and doing one thing. I think
right.
doing the Way, Way Back was the most stressful, rewarding, but stressful summer of my life.
All right. Let me ask you. We're almost out of time. Our friend Jim Rash is here, by the way. We're talking about his new film, Bernard and Huey, available in select theaters and on demand tomorrow. But I have to ask, since you mentioned Community, I have to ask one question I've been dying to ask, which is, you had an enormously talented cast on that show. And almost everybody on that show has gone on to have a great career. Jillian works all the time. Allison mm-hmm. works all the time. Yvette. Mm-hmm. Joel, obviously, is doing great. Did anyone have any idea that Donald Glover would turn into Childish Gambino and then Atlanta guy and Lando Calrissian and all the rest? Are
no,
you stunned by his success?
Not stunned in the sense that if you knew him, obviously when he was on the show, you knew exactly what how much talent was there.
You could tell that he was.
Oh, absolutely.
Destined.
And then we went
something.
To, we did go to an early Childish Gambino concert all together. This is much earlier when we were still on the show. So you already knew that. But beyond that, you know, knowing that he's sort of focused in Atlanta and obviously now in Solo, it doesn't surprise me is what I guess I should say
mm-hmm.
at all. And he's such a great improv talent. Talk about improv.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, his SNL appearance was tremendous.
No, I knew
so
right
funny.
Away when I saw it, I said, oh, this is more than in his wheelhouse.
I feel like him trying out for SNL has to be one of those things that Lauren just goes, Yeah, I screwed that one up.
I assume there's got to be a lot of those through the years.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I only know through the Grammys, but I know the number of people. You're like, oh, okay. Well,
is that something you ever thought about, Jim? SNL.
Okay, this is going to be the quickest story, but Nat and I, my writing partner, went to audition for Saturday Night Live many, many, many years ago. It was a, what's the word I'm looking for? Disaster. it was...
That's a hard audition,
horrible.
Though.
We were at UCB, I think it was the old place where they had UCB at the time. Tina was there. They were in the audience. They decided to have us do what is called a Herald in improv. It's this sort of a style that I'm not totally trained in. It's basically long form improv. And it was nine guys up there to vie for attention in an improv. And let me just tell you, when you have nine guys trying to show off what they've got, you've got nine guys. And again, the word I looked for and found successfully was disaster. Now, I will say that Fred Armisen opened for us, and he obviously went on. Good for him.
Is this good? He wasn't one of the nine. Eight,
my God. And the whole time afterwards, you're talking to people going, it wasn't that bad, was it? It wasn't that bad. No, I got a couple laughs. Okay, good. We'll see. You know, and you just saw them running to their car. Or into a taxi, I guess, not a car.
I love those kind of showbiz stories, Jim. Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
The film is Bernard and Huey, you guys. And Dave Koechner is in it. Jim Rash is in it. Mae Whitman, who's wonderful in it. Sasha Alexander, Nancy Travis. And the President of the United States, Bellamy Young, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
As Aggie, who's tremendous in the film as well.
Thank you.
It's available VOD and in select theaters tomorrow. Jim, great to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
I'm sorry, the question again, Dave? Ali is here. Time for another look at what's happening here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then in 5 minutes, we hook you up with your tickets for Florence and the Machine. What's up, Ali?
You're a Springsteen fan.
Very much so.
Are you a big enough Springsteen fan that you will watch the Tonys this weekend?
Yes.
All right.
Really?
Wow.
Well, remember, I saw the show on Broadway that The Boss has been doing, and it was tremendous, and I'm really, really curious to see what part of it he will bring to the Tony stage.
Yeah, he's going to perform on Sunday. Yeah. He's set to do at least one number from his show, Springsteen on Broadway, and he's going to get a special award during the live telecast, which brings him one letter away from an EGOT, which, of course, is Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Here's the thing. All he needs is an Emmy, which could happen once the Broadway show is filmed and shown on TV.
Oh.
What? Billy Joel, by the way, giving him his special award. Billy Joel.
I think there's, I could be wrong, but I think there are 24 EGOTs right now. People who have won all four of those awards.
Interesting. Okay. I am not going to.
You're not going to win all of those?
I feel like I can safely say I will not. You know who I think might?
Who?
Donald Glover.
Sure.
Right?
I would assume he would. Yes. He's a slam dunk.
Yes. Absolutely. This is insane. Kiss is going back out on the road. Gene Simmons told a Swedish newspaper that it will be a 3-year tour.
Wow.
You heard me. 3-year tour kicking off in January of 2019 and visiting all continents. And he was asked if this would be the farewell go-around for Kiss. He didn't have a definitive answer, but here's his quote. Let me put it bluntly. One day we're going to stop and do the last show. I don't know when that is. I still look stunning in real life. Gene Simmons, everybody.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night. Part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night. Party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
Part of every day. I love that. Well, we were talking earlier about Judge Judy Shinlin making $47 million a year.
Yep.
Well, that's an insane amount of money.
Well, isn't she always the highest paid person in television?
Yes, but...
I want you to answer my question.
Here's the thing. May Sweep's numbers came out. Judge Judy at the top.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect sense. Top of syndicated shows for the 9th consecutive year.
Wow.
That's insanity. The closest competition was Family Feud, followed
by... Not interested,
sir. Followed by Jeopardy. I know it doesn't matter, because really, you're number one again. ninth consecutive
year.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you.
She's making
totally
them gazillions.
Yes, totally. Let me ask you guys this. Do you enjoy the Judge Judy show?
Yes.
I used to, yeah. I used to be really into it.
I don't watch it all the time, but I would. If it came on, I would watch it because she's great. And the people that come in her court are so stupid.
Yes.
I love the combination of the two.
And she handles it.
So you get Zippo, nada.
It's true. It's true, you guys. Rami Malek, he's pretty busy. You know, he's going to be Freddie Mercury, Bohemian Rhapsody. He's also going to be starring in a new film called American Radical, playing a Muslim FBI agent. It's a true-life plot, which will have him playing the FBI agent who infiltrated an Al-Qaeda-controlled terrorist cell.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That sounds great.
Oof, and the showrunner from Mr. Robot is directing the film.
Love it.
I mean, it's all coming up roses for Rami Malek.
I like that Mr. Robot.
Yeah, it's a real good show. Real good show. What else do you want to talk about?
Our choice.
It's your segment.
I don't know if I brought this up earlier, but the last living munchkin from The Wizard of Oz passed away.
You did. You did.
You brought that up. Covered it in great detail. Uh-huh. You read us his entire IMDb.
I mean, 98 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you didn't know Jerry Marin, he was the one who welcomed Judy Garland's character Dorothy to Munchkinland in the 1939 film. Gave her that big, giant, round lollipop. He only made $50 a week for appearing as one of the 124 Munchkins in the film. Toto, the dog, got $125 a week.
Wait.
That's
he made 50.
Yes.
And the dog made 125.
That is what I said.
But don't you think he gets the last laugh by outliving the dog by 93 years?
Indeed. And last time I checked, that dog wasn't Mayor McCheese or the Hamburglar. Right? Suck it, Toto. Oh, it's just real sad, you guys. The last one.
I mean, he's
97. There are no more munchkins. 98.
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Too soon. No more munchkins.
Right, but Allie, the movie was 1939.
Right. Okay. I mean, what do you expect?
They weren't going to last forever.
I feel like munchkins should.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you.
Please.
Fetty Wap, Iggy Azalea, Liam Neeson, Emily Ratajkowski, Tom Jones, Michael Cera, Mick Foley, Bill Hader, Dave Navarro. That's what's happening.
Dr. Drew is not going to be happy with us, Kevin.
I know.
Look, he tolerates our nonsense on a weekly basis here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but he is a medical professional, and he comes on to save the world and do good and give people good health information.
Right, but there are times that we need information that we don't have.
Mm-hmm. I know. So we had a topic, a very important topic, one that Dr. Drew says is an essential topic to discuss here in the 21st century, but instead we're jettisoning that because we need to talk about the poo jogger. Hey, Doc.
Such a pleasure. So proud. I'm so proud. My proudest moment, maybe today. But let's just state
it. See how it goes.
Coming soon, the Dunning-Kruger effect. We'll get into more detail.
We will.
I'm prepared to talk about that.
We'll do that next
literally
week.
3 minutes ago.
Okay, we'll do that next.
I know.
We'll
literally
do
3 minutes ago, Chip runs out and goes,
get a hold of
I need
yourself.
The mindset of a pooper.
Okay, right. So here's what's going on for you, Dr. Drew, and for folks who weren't listening earlier today, is there is yet another mad pooper, phantom pooper, whatever you want to call it. This one, the hashtag in Australia is poo jogger, who has been running around for a year and has deposited at least 30 outdoor poops over the course of the past year. He has been caught. He is a 62-year-old professional, a corporate bigwig, who has since lost his job, by the way, named Andrew McIntosh. Now, they say nowhere in the article his motivation. And that's where you come in as a bright guy who has studied human behavior for so long. We're trying to figure out what's going on with these people that have to poop in public.
Why is there more than one?
Why is there more than one?
Why is there one?
And when you guys proposed this story, I said, that's old news. We passed that one a long time ago.
Wrong, sir.
New one.
Still going, new one.
It's still going on. There's one in Toronto right now that's still on the loose. There's been one in Colorado recently, another in New York. This one's in Brisbane. Why is it all over the world? What's happening?
Who is laughing?
Me? I find that funny.
Well, I given that I've had 3 minutes to compose my thoughts.
Oh, stop complaining.
I'm figuring it's in, it must be different categories, okay?
Okay.
So one, obviously, if somebody has Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis and they're going to be a runner, they're going to be prone to accidents and things, and that may just happen on somebody's lawn, it seems to me.
But this seems like they're, you know, it's happened 25 or 30 times.
Yeah, yeah, so hold on. So that's one possibility. Okay.
So you're saying a chronic bowel issue.
That's right. Inflammatory bowel disease or something like that. And then one would be just a random event. I personally almost was one of those people once, and thank God came upon one of those porta-potties. Strangely, Carol and I did two entire podcasts on this yesterday. Strangely enough.
What a surprise.
Very
really?
Weird that we were having this conversation today. But anyway, on porta-potties and their history and their evolution and our experiences in them. But the other category, which is sort of more, I think, where you're looking, is what are the psychological
features? Yes.
Now, there are people, if you look on either side of the homeless encampments, you'll find large piles of human feces. And those are people that are psychotic, they're chronically detached
right,
from reality.
Right, this so, guy was a – he ran a company.
I guess,
homeless
so
people
on.
Don't have a choice, though. They have to poop somewhere.
Well, and they really don't care because they're not detached – they're detached from reality. So there's that. And there are people that are drug addicts and are not caring in some
right.
real sense.
Okay.
So these are the kind of categories I want to walk through. And then there's somebody like the coffee shop pooper the other day. Did you see that one?
Well, which one was that? What did
oh
he
my
do?
God! The woman that pooped in front of the cashier and then threw her.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and that seems like some sort of I don't know what to make of that, but clearly not a well person, right? And sort of somebody with overwhelming aggression and some sort of impulse control problems, like personality disorder. So there's another category. But I think what you're getting at are the people that literally are behaving like more primitive primates that are literally. It's like a big F you, right? They're going to leave that on. Some people do it on people's lawns with purpose.
Like yeah, they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, with a particular person, with a particular intent in mind. It's some sort of really passive-aggressive sort of signal that comes from our primitive primate heritage. I mean, go to the zoo. The monkeys will let you know the same. They yeah. will throw it at you.
So this is a person making a statement about the world or about
the world
their own unhappiness?
Well, yes, or that particular person where they're depositing their goods.
They're
I'm
goods.
So pleased
it's a very
to be
pleasant way to describe it.
So pleased to be talking about it this morning, gentlemen.
Do you think this is why you went to medical school?
Oh, this is it. This is the highlight.
Is there any we all hear about, and this is what I was asking the kids earlier, but now I can ask you, is there anything that would be the equivalent of what the thrill an exhibitionist gets out of doing something that's private in public, and could that translate to what the mad pooper is doing?
No, because that usually has it's directed at somebody usually, like they're you're sharing that with somebody. This you really don't want anybody to see it, though you're leaving it behind. So I guess there's sort of a connection there, but it's not exhibitionistic. It's more about secretive acting out of aggression. Does that make sense? But it
yes.
is in public, so it has sort of an exhibitionistic
right.
potential.
Right.
It's just specifically avoiding that they get high from.
And you think the person who, when you're the poo jogger and you run away from your deposit, do you think you feel great, like you are so happy that you just did that?
Just delivered the goods.
Yep.
Hard for me to relate to what's going on.
Get out there
the
and poop in public, Drew.
The mind of the pooper.
Do some research.
But I'm imagining it's like, yes. Got him. Done and done.
That's what we thought.
Done. Okay. All right. Now we're good. So your advice as we close then to our listeners is be a mad pooper or don't be a mad pooper?
I'm guessing that this must be a healthy trend we're suggesting, right?
I mean,
it's caught
okay.
on
good.
And we're sort of giving it a green light. Is that what we're saying here?
Fantastic.
We're all
on
the same page.
A very harmless way of expressing your aggression, guys. Is that what we're saying
That's
here?
What we're saying.
Oh, God.
We're good with that.
And it's free. Hey, drdrew.com is the website for all of the great podcasts, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Drew podcast, the Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood. Don't forget, Drew is on every weekday afternoon from noon till 3 on 790KABC, and you can download the Heal app at the App Store and Google Play and get a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. drdrew.com will do your syndrome thing next week. Thank you for joining us.
And if you want to hear about that syndrome, I do a podcast with David McCraney at the Dr. Drew podcast. You can look for that. We talk about Dunning-Kruger. But we'll do it with you next time.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Doc.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
I guess what I'm saying is maybe you guys don't need to contribute to my obituary, all right?
Maybe you guys just stay out of it. We can control ourselves. Well, I'm just saying.
I feel like we...
Although, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to outlive all of you anyway.
Sure.
Right. You should be worried about me, not the other way around.
Right.
9:39, Thursday morning, our last look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Guys, I want to give you a pair of tickets to Demon Days LA Festival.
All right.
It's, yeah, kids love it. It's going down at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena and Grounds on October the 20th. By the way, this lineup, Gorillaz, Erykah Badu, The Internet, Dram, many more. And this will be the Gorillaz' final North American date of 2018.
You don't want to push it. You don't want to do too much.
You don't. You don't want to. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at demondays.frontgatetickets.com. Or if you give a call right now to 1-800-520-1067, I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to Demon Days. That is, again, going down on October 20th. Guys, it's Jersey, right?
It is Jersey, yeah.
Not a good situation happening.
See what you did?
Ronnie from Jersey Shore almost came to blows filming.
Okay.
This is at the pool party at the Flamingo. This all happened yesterday, but it's coming out today. He had to be restrained going after a loudmouth. He was charging the guy. Cameras rolling. So this is for season two coming up.
Okay.
Apparently, the man with that Ronnie was beefing with keeps shouting something about Gucci and hustling. So I can't wait to see this footage. Sounds really good. However, not the first time that Ronnie has gotten heated with strangers. He landed behind bars in season one after knocking a man unconscious.
Holy crap.
He also brawled with another guy while filming the show, but cops were not involved in that one. And then more recently, yesterday at the Flamingo. So, way to go, Ronnie.
I'd take a guy with an anger management problem and pump him up full of alcohol
and put cameras on him. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And is he the super buff one, too? So,
Who knows?
Probably pumped up with weightlifting.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you need to be on your tip-top game with your GTLs to stay FTD to get the girls to DTF in MIA.
I mean, we all understand, right?
Sure.
Totally. Totally agree with all of that. Tommy Lee, we've seen the video, right? Back in the day, him driving a boat.
Sure.
With his wang.
Sure.
If you weren't aware... Yeah, that happened in 1995 when someone broke into Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson's house, stole a sex tape, then wound up putting it out there. And Pamela Anderson sued the company. Then they decided, oh, well, let's actually make some money with it. We'll go in it together. Was it a publicity stunt? Who knows? Why am I bringing it up? Because Brittany Ferland, who is Tommy Lee's fiance, was asked outside of the Topanga Mall about her relationship with Tommy Lee, and she said, "Oh yeah, we've made some sex tapes, but they will never see the light of day." And I say to you,
"That's cute,
Brittany." Maybe they will, because if the whole Tommy Lee Pamela Anderson thing wasn't them putting it out and pretending it was a setup,
right?
Then someone literally took their sex tape and put it out there. Broke into their home.
Yeah.
And now you're telling people you have
it. There's tapes there.
So maybe don't.
It's like, life is like a snare drum. Whack it.
That's what I am saying.
Right.
Great, great point, Tommy, right there. And in case you missed it, Panic at the Disco performing tonight ahead of Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Guys,
how about Panic at the Disco?
How about them? They are going to be performing before tonight's Game 5. So that's exciting.
Sure.
Right? So,
They're so great.
This series, we have had last game in Washington, Fallout Boy, right?
Yes.
We've had Panic at the Disco and the game one.
Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons.
Did it too. That was game two.
Yeah. And they haven't won.
Cold War Kids!
Guys.
We don't have Cold War Kids yet.
Oh, not Cold War Kids, but I'm saying game five.
Yeah.
Let's say Vegas takes it.
Okay.
Blink 182!
Then they head back to Washington, Blink 182 performs. Then they head back for Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Killers, right?
I mean, I don't know what the Killers are doing.
I'm saying, obviously, the Killers.
All right.
You've had Imagine Dragons.
you've had Panic at the Disco,
right.
And the Killer brand is probably like, listen, guys, goes to Game 7, I'm in. Diggable Planets!
So here's what has to happen, is that the Vegas Golden Knights have to win tonight in Vegas.
Right.
Then they have to go to Washington, they have to win in Washington to force a Game 7 back in Vegas.
Yes.
And then you're guessing it might be the Killers because they're from there.
That is what I'm saying.
Okay.
However,
that's some solid reporting.
Here's what I would like. I would like that because A, I love the Killers. B, I want a Game 7.
Okay.
However, I'm very okay with Vegas winning tonight and then the Capitals winning Game 6.
In front of their crowd?
In front of their home crowd. I think those people deserve it. They live in Washington. Right? Who's with me? Who is with me? Sandra Bullock is living a whole new existence since she added the title of mom to her extensive resume. She revealed to Hoda Kotb on Today that she has had a, quote, really good life before adding to the family, but says, once you have children, you go, my life was nothing until you showed up. I was literally wasting time every day. And now knows exactly what my life is about because of them. And I say to that, holy crap. that's a lot.
She's a bitch.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, all my friends say they never knew love until their children.
Right.
I don't have kids.
Right.
Do I not know love? Does my life not mean anything because my ovaries are dust? Is that what it means?
I mean, I can't answer that for you.
Kevin, what was your life like before you had children?
I don't remember.
Oh, you're gross.
I really don't.
I don't remember my life before kids.
I really don't.
Bean, do you ever feel like your life isn't quite what it could have been because your ovaries, too, are dust?
No. I am very comfortable and have been unwavering in my decision long ago to not have children. The only time it and I feel good about that, and it's not like I've ever woken up one day and thought I made a mistake. I think that
you've
right
been solid from day
I've
one.
Been solid, right? The only thing I will say, and I think this is legitimate, is I do have some concerns about me being older and not having some sort of familial support system, being the only one left. You know, just me and my wife, and one of us will go first, and then who's going to be around to look after whoever's left, you know? That's my only concern. I mean, that is one of the benefits of having children is if you guys have to maintain a good relationship, at least they'll look after you when you get old.
Mm-hmm. Unless the woman in the obituary. Unless it's
right,
her.
Exactly. Right. Unless it's that sort of a situation.
I often think about not having kids. And I think to myself, like, if I'm laying on the couch and I'm like, oh, I wish I had a Diet Dr. Pepper. I think one of those little S heads could grab me a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Sure. So just to be clear, so you want somebody to run errands for you and grab stuff out of the fridge.
Yes.
And Bean wants somebody to take care of him when he's old.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But you've got both those things, Kevin.
Right.
You're set. Poor Chip. Chip has none of that.
I'll tell you. I mean, it's true.
Some birthdays for you. Fetty Wap, Iggy Azalea, Liam Neeson, Emily Ratajkowski, Tom Jones, Michael Cera, Mick Foley, Bill Hader, and Dave Navarro. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. The SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We do Keep It 100 on Fridays. We've also got a Jersey Shore recap with Omar tomorrow. We've got a scientific survey we need your help with. And from The Daily Show, Roy Wood Jr. will be joining us in studio. Love him so much. And we will continue giving you tickets to Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl and qualifying you for a VIP trip to the Life is Beautiful Festival in downtown Vegas tomorrow morning.